NPR parody podcast, in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
Russian President Vladimir Putin, reminding Americans that he is in charge now.
The President Donald J. Trump Institute for Orwellian Doublespeak, putting America first by surrendering to Russia.
And the Hillary Clinton I Told You So Institute of having told us so, reminding us that Hillary Clinton told us so.
I am Dave.
And I am Molly, and we are whispering because we are dissenting, and we don't want to be murdered by Vladimir Putin.
By now, you have almost certainly heard the first Michael Cohen tape released on CNN, in which we can clearly hear then-candidate Trump plot a hush money payment with his part-time attorney and full-time obedience-trained human lapdog, Michael Cohen.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he hates that.
I want you to pay her $130,000. That's $3,000 per second of the time it took for us to have sex. And yes, that includes foreplay.
Don't worry, boss. I'm as all over it as your perfectly adequate sized penis was all over the porn star and violating campaign finance laws to pay off. On your orders. By illegally laundering money through a fake company.
Now that you just spelled out how illegal this is, I sure am glad you're not secretly recording this conversation.
But we now know of the existence of at least a dozen more tapes thanks to Stormy Daniels' attorney, Michael Avenatti's, seemingly limitless knowledge of the situation, which frankly at this point seems almost suspicious.
As of this recording, the contents of other tapes has not been made public. But Barely Audible Whisper was able to obtain audio of the content of the unreleased tapes by making it up.
Like this recording made in a hotel room immediately after Donald Trump had sex with a porn star.
Tell me it was as good for you as it must have been because I'm so good at sex.
Well, it was,
Psst! Hey, I'm hiding under the bed. It's not creepy or anything, I'm hiding under the bed. Whenever Mr. Trump has sex, so I can pay off whoever Mr. Trump just had sex with. In case Mr. Trump asked how the sex was.
How is that not creepy?
I'll just take this money and tell him it was the best sex you ever had.
It was the best sex I've ever had.
Of course it was. Many people are saying that Trump is the best at sex, much better than Obama.
It was the best 43.3333 seconds of my life.
And yes, that includes foreplay.
Or this tape of Cohen on the phone with Trump while Melania gave birth.
I think it's working, boss. I'm wearing the blonde wig and talking to you like I'm pretty sure she's in so much agonizing pain to notice that I'm not really you. Bigly, tremendous, the best. Nobody is better birth coach than Trump.
Good. I'm glad that my wife is in too much agonizing pain to notice that I'm having sex with a porn star while she is giving birth to our son. Our legacy lives on. Nobody is a better husband than Trump.
You're as good as a husband as you are a businessman, boss.
But I have a problem, Michael. I just had sex with a porn star, but you are hiding under the bed to pay her money to tell me it was the greatest 43.3 with the little line over the 3 indicating that the 3 goes on forever seconds of her life.
I took care of that, boss. I arranged for your son Eric to hide under the bed for me.
I know, but Eric is too stupid to figure out how to get out from under the bed.
Ow! Ow! I hit my head on the bed frame again!
Or this taped phone conversation from immediately after Cohen brokered the deal for Trump Tower Moscow.
Here's the deal, boss. Putin will tell you to build a Trump Tower in Moscow in exchange for your collusion with Russia in the presidential election.
Yes, collusion. There's collusion between Trump and Russia. Yes, collusion. Trump-Russia collusion is not made up. Trump-Russia collusion is not a witch hunt. Yes, collusion. Yes, yes, yeah, yes.
Or this taped phone conversation from exactly 43.333 seconds later.
Here's the deal, boss. Putin nicks the Trump Tower Moscow deal. He says your willingness to commit treason actually gives him more leverage over you than any real estate deal ever could. He basically owns you now.
Well, Putin fucked me in exactly the same amount of time it took me to fuck this porn star.
Ow! Ah, I hit my head again on the bed frame.
And yes, that includes foreplay. Somebody go get me a Coke.
An Alabama-based Russia-based white supremacist hate group called the League of the South launched a Russian language page on their website, calling on Russia and the American South to become allies. A letter on their website touting the natural similarities between the white Southerners and Russians cited their, quote, European extraction, gene pool, and the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Nothing sums up Trump's America quite like the white supremacist hate group sucking up to the Russians.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained a recording of the League of the South's efforts to compose their rhetoric in Russian.
Damn it, Cletus! Google Translate can't translate any of our racist slurs! We can't have a Russian language page without no Russian language racist slurs!
Damn it, Thelma! I already done told you! Russian racist slurs is easy. You just add isky to American racist slurs. We hate Jewskis, Nigskis, and Talski Hedskis, Sansky Nigskis.
But ain't that racist?
Well, yeah, of course it's racist. I mean, racist slurs is supposed to be racist.
No, I mean, ain't adding isky to American words to make them into Russian words racist against Russians?
Well, ain't that how language works? I mean, it's like adding an O to the end of American words turns them American words into Mexican words.
Damn it, Cletus, that ain't really how Mexican words work. That's how we make American words into Mexican words because we use racist against Mexicans.
Is you sure about that, Thelma? Sometimes I lose track about what we really hate about folks we hate. And what we say we hate about folks we hate because, well, we hate them.
Well, I ain't no damn Ivy League Mexicanologist, but I'm pretty sure that go-o, back-o, two-o, euro, el, country-o ain't real Mexican words.
Now let's talk about Mexicans getting us off track. At the risk of sounding like a lying liberal media, the border issue is distracting us from the more important issue of Russian collusion.
Like I was saying, Cletus, I think adding isky to the end of American words to make them Russian words might be racist against the Russians.
So the hell what? We're a racist organization. We should be worried about using racist language.
Because we is reaching out to the Russians as white Christians of European extraction. We can't be insulting their Russia words when we trying to make them our Russia friends.
Well, damn it, Thelma. If we knew anything about reaching out to people from different cultures, we wouldn't be a white supremacist hate group.
I know, Cletus, but sometimes we gotta put our differences aside and focus on what we got in common.
That don't sound right.
It ain't right, Cletus, but the Russians helped Trump. It's like that old saying, the enemy what helped out my friend ain't so much my enemy as he used to be.
So you saying we need to be not racist against the Russians, because by being not racist against the Russians, it'll make us better racist against all other groups we's racist against?
It's a paradox.
I'm willing to not be racist against Russians, but I draw the line at not being racist against them damn paradoxes. I hate them damn paradoxes.
Damn it, Cletus, paradox ain't a slur, it's a concept.
What is you damn paradox-loving conceptualizer?
Cletus, I think the real reason you was hollering about paradoxes is that you're afraid that not being racist against the Russians is the first step towards not being racist against the other races.
Well, it's a damn slippery slope conspiracy perpetuated by the damn elitist paradoxes what secretly control all those concepts.
I know the idea of not hating foreigners is foreign.
Feels like personal growth aimed at the direction of human progress, and I hate it!
But think about how much more effectively we can hate foreigners by not hating foreigners.
I hate it!
If it suits their purposes, they might even send you one of them spy hookers to have sex with.
Okay, I love it.
A highly redacted version of the FISA warrant, which allowed the surveillance of Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, was released this week. Although the unredacted contents of the FISA warrant blatantly contradict the claims about the warrant made by Republican House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes, Chairman Nunes insists that unredacting the redacted portions of the warrant will somehow contradict the unredacted portions that contradict Chairman Nunes.
Chairman Nunes is now demanding that the redacted portions of the warrant be unredacted in an effort to bluff his way out of being caught bluffing.
Despite having yet another one of his political stunts publicly exposed, Chairman Nunes is continuing his threat to impeach Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein over Rosenstein's insistence on protecting the integrity of the Mueller investigation by refusing to turn over documents pertinent to an ongoing government investigation.
Chairman Nunez's strategy appears to be exploiting the gullibility of voters somehow unfamiliar with the children's story, The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
For more on the bluffing strategy of Chairman Nunez, Barely Audible Whisper sat in on a hand of Texas Hold'em at House Republican Poker Night.
I raise. The bet's to you, Chairman Nunez.
I want to see your cards before I figure out what to do with my cards. I subpoena your cards.
You have to call my bet if you want to see my cards.
Failure to comply with my card subpoena will result in you being held in contempt of poker.
It doesn't work like that.
Your insistence on playing poker in accordance with the rules of poker is highly suspicious. You're obviously motivated by political bias, which biases you against pretending that the rules of poker are not the rules that I just made up.
Just call or fold already.
I raise. I'm going all in on this hand because my hand is so awesome. It's unbeatable. I have a super duper royal flush of invincibility.
I call.
But I just told you I have a super duper royal flush of invincibility, which by definition is super and duper and invincible.
I have an ace high flush.
You're impeached from this poker game.
Just show your cards.
What about Hillary's outside straight?
What?
In 2010, a poker game in Benghazi, Hillary Clinton suspiciously drew an outside straight on the river. Why aren't we investigating that?
Just show me your damn cards. Wait, why are you scribbling on your cards with a black marker?
My cards are redacted.
You can't redact your hold cards.
But trust me, if I were to under-redact my redacted cards, they would totally win this hand.
But the ace high flush is the best possible poker hand that can be made from the available cards.
But my cards are redacted. And since you can't say what I say, then you have to believe what I say they say. And when I say what they say, and I say they win.
But it is literally impossible for the redacted information on to change this outcome.
Oh my god, look over there. Oh my god, it's a shiny object with a reflective surface not only that reflects but amplifies the shininess of other shiny objects.
You mean that TV turned on at Fox News?
Now keep looking at it.
Did Tucker Carlson just accuse Mexico of interfering in our elections? My god, that's distracting.
You can look back now.
You scribbled all over the cards with a black marker.
All the cards are redacted now. You can't say what the redacted cards say because only I can say what they say. And if you say they don't say what I say they say, then I say what you say is in contempt of what I say. And if I say what you say is in contempt of what I say, it makes what you say sound like hearsay because only I can say what the cards say. And what I say, what the cards say, is that they say that I win. And you can write an essay on that.
The indictment of Maria Butina, the accused Russian spy who infiltrated the NRA, revealed that Butina had a live-in sexual relationship with her 56-year-old accomplice and boyfriend, listed only as U.S. Person 1. The indictment further alleges that Butina had sex with at least one other man in exchange for a position of influence in a right-wing political organization, was only in the relationship for purposes of her mission, and even complained to multiple persons that she strongly disliked U.S. Person 1. Wow, poor guy.
Poor guy? The indictment also alleges that he, quote, arranged introductions to U.S. persons having influence in American politics for the purposes of advancing the agenda for the Russian Federation.
I know the guy is a traitor to our country, and I hope he rots in hell. But still, I feel a little sorry for him.
Ugh, men are idiots.
I know he's a traitor, but I still can't help feel sorry for him. And if you don't feel even a little sorry for him, then I feel a little sorry for you because you're slated to introduce a new segment we're calling A Day in the Life of a Guy Who, Even Though He's a Traitor, We Still Can't Help But Feel a Little Sorry for Him.
And now for a new segment I'm calling A Day in the Life of a Treasonous Scumbag That Dave Can't Help Feel Sorry For Because Men Are Idiots.
Hey, bartender. Let me get a beer and a shot. And a shot. And also a shot. I'm having a rough time with things. Sure, I'll tell you about it since you asked.
I didn't ask.
I just found out that my girlfriend had sex with, like, at least one other man in exchange for a job. And was using me the entire time we were together. She didn't even love me. She just complained to people how much she disliked me. And on top of all, she was arrested for being a Russian spy.
That's awful. Let me buy you a drink.
And to think I wasted all that time arranging introductions to U.S. persons having influence in American politics for the purpose of advancing the agenda of the Russian Federation.
Hold up. You were an accomplice to her being a spy, and now you want me to feel sorry for you? Uh-huh. Get the hell out of my bar.
What's going on here?
This treasonous son of a bitch aided and abetted a Russian spy, and now he wants sympathy because she cheated on him, used him, and she never really loved him.
No. A poor guy. Oh, man. I mean, I know he's a traitor to our country. I'll be rotting hell, but I feel sorry for him.
Men are idiots.
But he was betrayed. By the woman who betrayed his country for... that's a betrayal of the heart.
But the heart.
He committed treason.
Like treason.
Sure. He committed treason against our country, but she committed treason against his heart. And his heart treason. The worst kind of treason.
It is.
What is this, an 80s power ballad?
You just don't appreciate the uncanny ability of terrible men who get caught doing terrible things to not only feel sorry for themselves, but to somehow get not terrible men, feel sorry for them too. Didn't you see the movie Sideways?
What are you talking about?
Oh, men are idiots.
Every rose has its thorn.
You shut up.
One week after President Trump and Vladimir Putin's live televised press conference, the White House released an obviously edited transcript of the press conference, in which they deleted the part of a journalist's question that asked President Putin if he wanted President Trump to win the election, thus making Putin's affirmative answer not seem like an admission of guilt.
The release of the obviously edited transcript is part of an ongoing White House strategy to treat Americans as if we are all exactly as stupid as Trump's base of supporters.
The White House also released an edited video of the press conference, which edits out the exact same footage everyone has already seen and is still widely available for people to look up for themselves.
The release of the obviously edited footage is part of an ongoing White House strategy to treat Americans as if we are all exactly as stupid as Trump's base of supporters.
Continued scrutiny over the White House's blatantly false version of easily verifiable events will inevitably cause President Trump to be interviewed by Sean Hannity.
As a part of an ongoing White House strategy to treat Americans as if we are all exactly as stupid as Trump's base of supporters.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained audio of that non-existing interview because this is comedy, not journalism.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he still hates that.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the privilege of being able to, once again, lick your ass on live television. You know, I always tell people how delicious your ass tastes. Of course, the Destroy Trump media will never admit this, but your ass tastes truly delicious. It tastes like a poorly thought through chaotic combination of bigotry and greed.
Thank you, Sean. Many people are saying that Trump's ass tastes delicious, much more delicious than Obama. Nobody's ass tastes more like salty racism and savory money laundering than Trump. When I was in Helsinki, I licked Putin's ass for 2 solid hours. No collusion! Putin's ass tastes like a meticulously calculated combination of espionage and murder.
Mr. President, I have spent an entire week talking about how strong and great for America your public Putin ass licking was. But of course the liberals and the Destroy Trump media just want to talk about reality, which I have pointed out again and again on this show. Reality is totally biased against Trump.
Reality is fake news. For example, earlier when I said that I licked Putin's ass for 2 solid hours, I meant to say wouldn't.
At the risk of doing my job as a journalist, I should point out that the word wouldn't doesn't actually fit grammatically into that sentence.
Don't correct me, Sean Hannity.
I did not mean to correct you, Mr. President, sir. It's just that the anti-Trump reality-obsessed destroy-Trump legitimate press is always quoting things you say that don't make sense to try and construct a narrative that you don't make sense by reporting the things you say that don't make sense, which is totally out of context because they report what you say in context without allowing you to make up the context of the phony narrative you use to push back on that phony narrative of telling the narrative of what you actually do and say. All I'm trying to do by pointing out that the word wouldn't doesn't fit in that sentence you tried to fit it into was to give you the chance to change the reality of what you said to fit into the reality of what you want to say so that we could both pretend you never said what you actually said and argue that you actually said what you said instead of what you actually said.
But I can say I meant to say wouldn't, even in a context that wouldn't make sense to say wouldn't because I don't speak in a recognizable English syntax. Using a sentence structure that has no sentence structure lets me reconstruct my sentences to mean whatever I say they mean whenever I choose to make them mean something other than what they mean.
Your bullshit is magnificent. Can I worship you as a god?
You already do. That's what makes you the best journalist. That, and I'm not a journalist because if Trump were a journalist, nobody would be a more best journalist than Trump because Trump is the most better bestest. But because I'm the president, you are the best journalist because you worship Trump.
Thank you, His Holiness President Trump, my personal lord and savior. Your approval means so much more to me than my integrity.
Enjoy it while it lasts. As soon as it suits my purposes, I will throw you under a bus faster than Putin tricked me into committing treason. Once again, I meant to say wouldn't.
Oh, great and powerful Trump, whose infinite wisdom was infallibly gifted by the divine. I rationalize your behavior religiously on this show, and my viewers in turn rationalize your behavior while watching this show. But what do you say to the anti-Trump reality-obsessed liberals who are so tethered to the anti-Trump bias of reality that they insist on believing the anti-Trump bias of reality they see with their own anti-Trump biased eyes, rather than constructing Orwellian counter-reality so deep within their own psyche that they aren't even consciously aware of the conscious manner in which they are consciously reconstructing their own subjective experience of objective reality?
I say fake news, or witch hunt, or 13 angry Democrats, or crooked Hillary, or jobs, or respect our great flag, or whatever other trigger I need to use to activate whatever irrational hatred is useful in the moment. I can give you an erection right now just by saying the words MS-13, illegal alien animals.
Oh my god, I haven't been this aroused since I first saw the pictures from Abu Ghraib.
When the reality of what I do is bad, the Democrats will say it is bad. And if the Democrats say it is bad, my supporters will either say it is good or deny it is real. They're like self-trained Pavlovian dogs that condition themselves to salivate every time they hear propaganda.
Our Trump, who art Trump, hollow be thy Trump.
That's why I like you, Hannity. Trump is the Jesus Christ of misinformation, but Sean Hannity is like the John the Baptist who paved the way for Jesus Christ, which is me, because nobody's more Jesus Christ than Trump.
Oh, Trump, I am not worthy to receive you, but only tweet some bullshit and I shall be healed.
Thank you for listening to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast. On the last episode before we take a two-week vacation, Barely Audible Whisper is made possible by the very hard work of the following very real people: writer, co-host, producer Dave Baldwin, co-host and actress Molly Brown, actor Michael Morgan, actress Corey Burns, actor Robin Ward, and making her Barely Audible Whisper debut in the role of a porn star, Kaylin Meredith. Please like us on your social media, follow us on your Twitter, and share this program with everybody. Share us, share us, share us. We love you so much. We will enjoy our vacation. We will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you once again.
Hubris!